the whole idea for the book came to you in 5 minutes.
Yeah, idea for three books came to me in 5 minutes. That's three opening lines. That was one. Another.
The other two.
The other one was I'd rather not give them to you. And I remember I mailed them all back to New York to my editor, who was then Bob Gottlieb at Knopf. And by the time I heard from him, I'd already decided to do this book. He would have preferred I do another one, but I was already engrossed and absorbed in this one. And I already saw the book. I had it in mind. And as I say, what comes to me is the novel itself. The same thing with Catch-22, the whole character, the personality of the book, the tone.
Does the kind of chapter structure that you wanted come to you then, too?
No, chapter structure doesn't, but... And the tone of this book didn't come to me then, but much of it did. But as I read more, I knew that I was going to present the Athenian Wars as, even though very often I will use a modern idiom to describe something, which is chronologically inaccurate. But other than that, I was going to try to present it to readers over the history of the times. I mean, I use the term Cold War. As far as I know, that's a modernism.
You used it to refer to ancient Greece.
Yeah. Cold War, defoliation. And I don't mind cutting. In fact, I relish cutting. And as I said earlier, I know in writing now that all my books are going to be much longer than I want to be. You started to read this book in its first type draft, which means it was not its first type draft. It was meant the draft preceding it was so much longer. The sections were so longer that I went to work on it before I even put it together in a complete draft. I knew it was going to cut a tremendous amount. And much of what I cut is interesting, or is funny, or is trenchant, is what I leave in, but it does not fit. There's a line I like very much that I had in the first draft, which the chapter began, "There were enemies of abortion in ancient Athens who wished to inflict the death penalty on everyone who was not pro-life." And then I had another paragraph on the Athenian and Spartan practice of exposing children to die, which was not illegal in Athens or Sparta. It was...
And that would connect with your later line about the citizens of a democracy did not see why they could not kill whoever they wanted.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Now, the one about abortion didn't fit. First of all, number one, it was not true, as far as I know. But secondly, this is not going to be a book about women's rights or abortion. So that was incongruous. And, another thing I had, which I like to use somewhere else, is the striking contrast between the low regard in which Athenian women were held by men and the very formidable roles they play in Greek myth and in Greek drama.
You know, Socrates does come across as the hero at the end of your book.
Well, of course, that's why his last chapter is there. I mean, that's why his death is the last chapter before that short conclusion I have. And that was part of the plan, to work in as much of the text of those three works by Plato as I remember them, then as I reread them as possible. Maybe get the whole thing in as inconspicuous sections of a novel. And if somebody examined and say, "Listen, this guy, hell, look what he did. He took the whole took the whole apology, took the whole Crito, the whole Phaedo." But so much of it doesn't apply, and so much of it is irrelevant, makes no sense. In the Phaedo, the last one, I give the beginning and I give the end. There's a long, long middle, which is makes no sense to almost anybody. It's not worth considering. That's the existence of the soul and the pre-existence of whether matter precedes God or God precedes matter. I didn't want to get involved with that.